Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. At the bottom of the Amud, the last words of the Amud, by the name of Rav Kahana Mirav. Rav Kahana asked Rav the following question: Yesh Drusul Chatol, if a cat did trampled an animal, clawed an animal, is that victim going to be considered a drusum? That the halacha is, of course, that a drusum is treif, amalei, and he responded, af l'cholda, even a weasel can make a drusum. Then he asked him, af l'cholda yesh drusum, even a weasel can make drusum. Then he asked him another question, yesh drusul l'chaluda, or ain drusul l'chaluda, and then he asked him, can a weasel make a drusum or not? Amalei, and he responded, af l'chatol ein drusum, that even a chatol, even a cat, cannot make a drusum. Then he asked him, Amalei, the next question he asked was, l'chatol, u'l'chuldo yesh lam drusum, or ein lam drusum, can a cat or a weasel make a drusum? Amalei, and he responded, l'chatol yesh drusum, a weasel, a cat, can make a drusum, l'chuldo, but a weasel ain't drusa. So obviously, all these questions are very, and answers are extremely confusing. Says the Gemara, "Be'rili v'loy kasha." There is no question, and this is how to understand the response. Hada amalei avacholda yesh drusa. When he said that there's a drusa by a weasel and certainly by a cat, that's ba'ifus. If they attack a bird, that bird will become a drusa. Hadam al-af al-chatol drusa. And when he said that even the cat can't make a drusa, that's be'emri ravavi. That's talking about large animals. As we learned in our previous year, that a chatol, a cat, cannot make a drusa by any animal. Why doesn't a chatol have the ability to make a drusa by big animals? Because they don't have, explains Rashi, a poison that's strong enough to affect a behemoth daka. Others explain that the only time a bird that's attacking can express eris, venom, that's only by when they could get a good grasp in the animal that they are attacking. Since a chatol cannot get a good grasp in the animal that it's attacking, therefore, it doesn't even bother to express any eris, any venom. V'hamdalei, and when he said l'chatol yesh drusa, that a cat can make a drusa, or chulda ain drusa, and a chulda can make drusa, that's b'gadayim etolayim, the smaller animals. That a chatol does have the ability to make a drusa by these smaller animals, and a chulda, but a weasel does not have the ability to do so. So Tysus explains this entire conversation that took place in our Gemara between Rav Kahana and Rav in two ways. One way that Rivam explains was that all the questions that Rav Kahana asked were three different times. One, he asked Rav Kahana about, once he asked Rav about birds, and if what is the halacha by birds, and Rav told him that he asked him, can a cat make a drusa by a bird? To which he answered, even a chulda can make a drusa. The next time he was asking about big animals, and he asked that, can a weasel make a drusa by a big animal? And he answered, not only can a weasel not make a drusa by a big animal, but even a chatol, a cat, can make a drusa by a big animal. The next time, Rav was talking about gedoyim and taloyim, and Rav Kahana asked him if a chatol and chulda can make a drusa, and Rav responded, a chatol can and a chulda cannot. Then Tosfos gives a different pshat, that all three questions were posed at the same time. First he asked, can a chatol make a drusa? And Rav answered him since you didn't explain by what type of victim you're talking about, and so he said that there is a situation that a cholder can make a drusa. Then he asked him if a cholder could do the, now that you told me that a cholder can make a drusa, he asked him, is that under all circumstances? To which he answered that there's situations that even a chatul can make a drusa, and certainly a cholder wouldn't. And then he asked him, since a chatul and a cholder sometimes can make a drusa, as you're saying, and sometimes cannot make a drusa, are their halachas identical? And Rav told him, no, there are situations that a chatul can make a drusa and a cholder cannot. Continues the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis of an Aleph, drusas hanetz b'oif adak, v'drusas agaf b'oif agas, that a netz can make a drusa by any bird, and a gasa, a big bird, can only make a drusa by a big bird. So ask the Gemara by Rav Ashi, shar oifas tameim. We spoke in our Mishnah about the netz being the attacking bird, and we spoke about the gas being the attacking bird. By Rav Ashi, shar oifas tameim. When we have other non-kosher birds besides the netz and the gas, yesh lam drusa. Or ein lam drusa, is when they make a drusa, that considered an act of drusa to make the victim a treif or not? And Amalei, Rav Hillel, Rav Ashi, and he responded, Kevina Bey, Rav Kahana, we were in the Yeshiva of Kahana. Amar, he taught us, Shar Oifas Tameim, that when we speak about other non-kosher birds, Yesh lam drusa, they have a drusa. The Taisva says that the Gemara doesn't mean to ask. We're going to learn in a Mishnah, Mitzvashem, on Daf Nun Tesam and Aleph, that one of the signs of a non-kosher bird is that it makes a drusa. That's not what the Gemara means to ask. The question here is only about birds that express this venom. Furthermore, Taisva says, the Gemara says that the question here is strictly about non-kosher birds. But when we speak about kosher birds, Taisha says it seems that our Gemara is clearly indicating that a kosher bird can never make a drusa. The Bach makes this point, and he says that the same thing would be with kosher animals. A kosher animal cannot make a drusa. Kosher animals don't make a drusa, kosher birds don't make a drusa. Ask the Gemara. How are we assuming that all non-kosher birds can make a drusa? V'nantanan, as we just quoted the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis says, drusas ha-netz be'oif adak, that a netz can make a drusa by a small bird. Isn't that clearly indicating that only a netz can make a nutza, can make a drusa, no one else? Answers the Gemara, when the Mishnah singles out the drusas and netz, this is what the Mishnah means to do. Drusas and netz, the Kedava say, a netz can make a victim a drusa, even if it's the same size. Inach, but all the other non-kosher birds that we're speaking about, could only make a drusa, but the zutmanayu, on birds that are smaller than they. Vikadamri, and there's another version. Drusas are nates, apadravimine. Not only can nates make a drusa, but a nates can make a drusa even in a bird that's larger than this nates, the attacker. Inach, but other birds can make a drusa only with the kavasayu, when the bird they're attacking is equal or smaller to them, the netz being exception in this, according to this version, that it can even make a drusa on a victim that's larger than it, the attacker. Amar Rav Kahana, Mishmei Dravsimi Barashi, Ein Drusa L'Shul, a shul, which is a wolf, that the fox that attacked, that won't make the victim into a drusa. He says the Rosh, that it seems what the Gemara means to say is that a shul can never make a drusa, And the Rashba, by any type of animal, even smaller than it. But the Rashba points out that even though we're saying a shul can never make a drusa by any animal, even an animal that's smaller than it, that's only by animals. But the Rashba says it can make a drusa, it can make a drusa by birds. Furthermore, the Rosh points out that our Gemara, when it's speaking about the shul, is focusing on the fact that it's that it can it or can it not make a drusa. But the Rosh points out that if a shul bites a victim, that's different. And of course that the bite of a shul is very dangerous. Eini asked the Gemara, is this true? For a kiosk of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Etzisrael to Bavel, Maisa, he said there was a story with Dol, Dor Shul, Rochel, B'merchel, Shabesini, a shul attacked the sheep in Beisini, or Bar Maisel, Fnei Chachamim, and this question was brought to the Chachamim, Vamru, and they said, Yesh Drusa. They said that a shul can make a Drusa. Amr of Safra says Rav Safra, that wasn't a shul. A shul, as we're saying, cannot make a Drusa. It was actually a chatol. Their most Rishonim explained that Beis Hini was in Eretz Yisrael, and he was reporting when he came to Bavel a story that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Ikadami, but then there's a different version. Amar Rav Kahana Mishmed Rav Simi Barashi Yesh Drusa L'Shul, that a shul can make a drusa. Eini asked him, is that true? Vikasar of Dimi, Oma Maisa Vidara Shul, Rochel, Vemerkish Besa Hini, Oba Maisa Fnecham Vama Ein Drusa, says the Gemara, Amru, Arav Safra, Hu Kalav Hava. The Shul does make a Drusa, but that story was about a dog. And a dog, the Gemara is teaching us now, and will teach us again, will not make a Drusa. And in fact, says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yosef, Naktinan, we have a rule, She'ein Drusa L'Kelev. A Kelev that does a Drusa, that doesn't make it the victim into a Drusa. And the Miri says that even a big dog doesn't have any venom. And since a big dog doesn't have any venom, the Drusa, a dog never is able to make a Drusa. Continues the Gemara, Amr Abaya, Naktinan, Shein Drusa El Biyad. Furthermore, the halacha is that the victim of a drusa is only if it was attacked by hand. Lefuki, if the attack was done a regel with the hind legs, the loy, then the victim doesn't become a drusa. Furthermore, Ein Drusa El Bitzipirin. The only way that a victim becomes a drusa, says the Gemara, is with the nail of the claw. Lefuki, Shein, the teeth, Deloy, teeth cannot make a drusa. The Arzurah points out that the bird that can make a drusa with its way it pecks a food with its beak. Furthermore, the Beis Yosef says, and that's Beis Yosef points out, that these halachas are only speaking about animals. But birds have different halachas. The halacha about the front leg and the back leg obviously would not be applicable by a bird. Ein drusa, says the Gemara El Bedas. The only time a victim becomes a drusa is when it's done intentionally. Lefuki Shloim Bedas, if it wasn't done intentionally, then it won't be deloy. That won't be a situation of drusa. And drusa el machayim, a drusa could only happen while the attacker is alive. Lefuka lachemisa, after the death of the attacker, deloy, it cannot make its victim into a drusa. Amri. So they said, Hashtash Lemidas. So they asked the following question. If we've established that if the attacker did not attack intentionally, Amrit Loi, we say that the victim doesn't become a Drusa, so ask the Gemara Lachem Isimibai. So certainly that if it happened after the death of the victim, that it should be considered an act of Drusa. why was it necessary to say, after death is certainly the best example of Shloim Midas? Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, the Doris, when the attacker began to do the drusa when it was alive, and Paschal Yodei, and then the Paschal Yodei, they cut off the hand of the attacker before, we cut off the hand of that attacker. Manatema Bahadi the Doris, we would think that as it stuck its claws into the victim, that's when it expresses the venom, the eris. And here, even if they cut off the hand, but it was they cut off the hand after it was put into the body of the victim. Kamash Malan, the Gemara teaches us a chiddush. The Bahadi, the shol of Shadi Zeri, it only gives off the venom when it's pulling out the hand. And only then is it putting out the hand. And therefore, since here, by the time the hand of the attacker is being pulled out from the victim, at that point, it's no longer able to give off the drusa. And I saw that the Imre Emes says that this is the Makar, this is the source why on Shabbos, the holiest time on Shabbos is Shal Shudas, which is called the time of Ravid the Ravin. And he explains, because as we come to the end of Shabbos, and we're leaving Shabbos, that's the time where we have the holiest, highest level of Kedusha. Furthermore, I saw that the Klaus Magrebi used to say that during Sheva Brachas, we know every day of the week, after the Chas and Kala got married, we celebrate the Sheva Brachas, but there's a special point in the last Sheva Brachas, because the last Sheva Brachas, as the Chas and Kala are ending that week, their week of Simcha, as our Gemara says, if when it comes to Midara, when it comes to poison, we say that the time we leave is the most serious time. Certainly when it comes to Kedusha, we're going to say that the time that we leave the Kedusha, that's the time of the highest level. I also saw that here we're saying that only when the animal, the attacker, is pulling out its hand. So the Prisha asked a question that many times we've learned, even in our Masechta, that Dover Oymer Linok, something that's supposed to get a hole, even though it doesn't currently actually have the hole, it's already considered like it has the hole. So why over here that don't we say that? So he says, from here we see that the issue of the eris of an attacker, is not the same as a hole. A hole is a hole. And regarding holes, the halacha teaches us that as soon as it's supposed to get the hole, the halacha views it as if it got the hole. But when it comes to a drusa, then we have a whole different set of rules how to make a determination that it's a drusa. Amrav barav hun amrav, arisha niknas l'ben ha-shvarim. If a lion entered a place where there were oxen, the nimtzat tziporin, and we find a detached nail, begabish lechemhen, in the back of one of these oxen, ein chashin shemei aridarson, we need not be concerned that it was attacked by a lion. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why aren't we concerned? Roy varayis darsim, it says the Gemara, because we take the following approach. Most lions do attack. However, meet ain't darsim. There are lions that don't attack. And kol adaris, and furthermore, that whenever we have an act of drusa, ain't separate nishmetis. The nail normally doesn't fall out. The zois, but here we have a very interesting situation. Hoyl v'tziparin yeshevus loy begalgoy. Since we have this nail in the back of the animal, Amer, we can now, so this is something that's unusual. And since it's unusual, we assume b'koichel nesachik, that what happened over here was that the nail of this lion got stuck in the wall, and the axe walked by that wall, and then the nail attached itself to the back of the axe. As the Gemara, we can make a counter-argument. Adrabba, why don't we say, Rav Shar Mischachikin, most oxen rub themselves against the wall. However, Miat Emesachikin, there are animals that don't do so. And furthermore, Kol Mischachik, and even when an animal rubs itself against the wall, it doesn't indicate that there would be a nail going into its back. Here, when we have the victim with a nail in its back, shouldn't that clearly be an indication? Aimer, a redarsa, was certainly attacked by a lion, says the Gemara. We have given two counter reasons when to be concerned and when not to be concerned. Says the Gemara, we could go back to the original chazaka. Most animals are not attached, and therefore have a suffix drusa, so therefore this won't be considered a full-fledged drusa. It'll only be considered a suffix drusa. And Rav Tamei, and Rav's going to follow his opinion, Domar, that we need not be concerned with suffix drusa. Even though we've learned so extensively at the beginning of Masechta that when we look at an animal, every animal begins b'cheskes isroi medes. The assumption is that the animal is not kosher until we know it had a proper shechita. So explain the shechita mekubetzes. That there we're talking about that every animal begins with a cheskes evim and a chai. And therefore, if we have a question, if the shechita was a proper shechita or not a proper shechita, we have to revert back to the original chazaka that the animal is an evim and a chai, and that the shechita did not make it kosher. Here, this animal never had a question that the shechita wasn't done. So as far as the shechita is concerned, there is no chizkas iser. The only question is, was there a situation of drusa here or not? And since the only question that we had here is of drusa or not, we could be lenient. Amar Abai, as the Gemara just said. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Abai lo yamarin ela b'tzipoirin. If we find a nail, as we just said, in the back of the animal, avol makam b'tzipoirin, we only see a scratch on the back of the animal. So that's more usual, that the attacking animal scratches the victim. And under those circumstances, the halacha is that we have to be machmer. Says the Gemara, v'tzipor nami, even though we're being machmer, and we see the scratch of a tzipor on the back of the animal, lo yalmar el halacha, only if there's blood. So the fact that there's blood, that is a concern, and didn't come just from the wall. Avu yavesha, if it's dry, avdin the mishtamta, it's very possible that the nail didn't scratch, didn't attack, it just fell off on the back of the animal. Lachanami, furthermore, loyamarn elchada, if there's only one nail. Therefore, when there's only one nail, as the Gemara just said, we could assume that perhaps the attacker lost a nail on the wall, and the victim rubbed itself against the wall. Avotarti tlas, and we find a number of nails on the back of the animal. Tati tlas chshinin. Then we have to be concerned that the victim was indeed attacked by the lion. But says the Gemara, when is that concern in place? For who the kaima bedar de tzchufe? If they're on the same line that as the nails on the animal's claw. So the fact that you have all these nails on the back of the animal, very conveniently sitting there in the same way as the attacking lion has its nails, there we have every reason to be concerned that the victim was attacked by the lion and its nails fell out as it was attacking the animal. Itma, Rav Amar ein chashish l'safek drusa, as we just explained, Rav says that when we have a situation of safek drusa, we could be lenient. As Taisa says, Rav's opinion is based on the chazaka that most animals are not attacked. But Shmuel Amar, where Shmuel's opinion is, the chashish l'safek drusa, we have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, the kol amar safek ol, safek lo ol. If there's a question that if a lion entered amongst the animals, we should assume that the animal did not walk in, and therefore, since we didn't have any reason to believe that this attacking lion walked in, we could be lenient. Safek kalba, safek shunra. Similarly, if we have a concern, we don't know what type of animal walked in there. Was it a dog? And we learned earlier in our shiur that a dog's drusa is not a drusa. Or was it a chatol, that whose drusa is a drusa? A makalba. We can maybe assume that it was a dog. And if it was a dog, we could be, again, lenient. And again, here the Rishonim debate why we take this approach. One, some say, because even though we started our shiur today, that a chatol can make a drusa, it's still uncommon that a chatol should make a drusa. And since it's something that's uncommon, so the Rishonim say, Misal Lashchicha, we don't have to be concerned. Another explanation I saw is that a dog attacking and a cat attacking is a similar possibility. And therefore, since it's a legitimate suffix, we could be a makel. Furthermore, the Rashbah says that this is only in a place where there are cats and dogs. So since it's in a place where there are both cats and dogs, we could assume equally that it was a cat or a dog. But if it's a place where there are cats and no dogs, he says that there, of course, we can't just make believe, and the halacha will be that we have to be machmer. Says the Gemara, again, Safik Shunra, Safik Kalba, Safik Shunra, Eima Kalba. We could assume that it was a Kalba. Shosik V'Esa V'Neyu, what happens if a lion entered amongst the animals, but we don't see that it's screaming or yelling or making any noise? Eima, we could assume, says the Gemara, that Shalmehavi, that since they were quiet, it wasn't a situation that we need to be concerned that the attacking animal attacked. And Rashi and the Ramban say that even though the Gemara here used an example of an ari, of a lion attacking, then this halacha that the Gemara just said doesn't make a difference if it's a lion, if it's a chatol. If we see that the attacking animal was quiet, we can be lenient. Cut the ratio of the chad benayu. If one of the heads of the victims of the many animals was cut off, that could be an indication. Noch mirskei, the attacking animal was indeed enraged, and it came in, and the way it expressed its rage was by cutting off the head. Noch mirskei, but if it now calmed down, ve'ir kamavi v'ner kamakarkrin. If this attacking lion is roaring and the other animals are making noise, so what we could say is Buusi Kamavasi, they're all frightened one from the other. Since they're all frightened one from the other, nobody is attacking each other. Ki pligi. So if that's the case, then we have agreement, says the Gemara, in all these situations. So where would be a situation that we have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel? Ki pligi diu kushosik, where the lion is quiet, vinu kamakarkrin, and all the other animals that are there are making noise. Masover, Shmuel's opinion is masakovibuhu. The reason they're screaming is because they were attacked. That's why we have to assume that there's a drusa here. The only reason they're crying out is because they are frightened because there's a lion amongst them, but doesn't mean that they were attacked. Agamara has been speaking about the chatol making a drusa. And the question that I saw the Sefer Michta of Elio discusses in Chelik Dalid, that we don't see bizman hazeh that cats have venom in their claws. So when the Gemara says that there's venom from a cat, do we have to be concerned? He says two things. One thing he says, that we know that the Torah Kedoshah, the halacha, when we speak about Torah Kedoshah, never changes, even though it seems to us that there should be reason for change. That's one point that he makes. The other point that he makes is that although we know that cats don't have venom in their claws nowadays, but we do know that there's germs that form in the claws of the cat, from the various places it puts its hands, and therefore those germs that accumulate could be what make a drusa. And even in our time, we could be concerned about a drusa. Our Gemara just said that when we have a suffix, we have reason to be makel. But as we said earlier, when we have a suffix of an animal was slaughtered properly, we're machmer. And the Meshech Chochma suggests that the pasuk in the Torah teaches us this halacha, because the pasuk says at the end of Parsha Shemini, "Lahavda ben atami ben atar, uben achaya nechelas, uben achaya shaloi teichel." And he asks that we look at this pasuk. There's a difficulty. When we start the pasuk, the pasuk begins ben atami, a non-kosher animal, or ben atar, kosher animal. So first the pasuk speaks about the non-kosher, and then the pasuk continues, ben achaya nechelas, which is the animal which may be eaten, versus achaya shloi teichel. Why is the Torah reversing the order? So he says, the beginning of the pasuk is talking about an animal where we have a question if it was properly slaughtered. And as we said earlier in our shir, whenever we have a question if the animal was properly slaughtered, we have to be machmer. That's why the Torah says, tamei and then tar. Here we're talking about a case where we know, as we mentioned earlier, that the animal was properly slaughtered. The only question is it a drusa or not? And it's a suffix drusa, and Rav is telling that we could be lenient based suffix drusa. That's why the Torah first says, ben achaya hanachelas, and then only after the Torah says, anachaya hanachelas, now then it says, chaya she'en hanachelas. Amar Amema continues the Gemara. Amema teaches us Hilchasa, the halacha is Chashim L'Safek Drusa, that we follow the opinion of Shmuel, that Shmuel said that we paskin, that we machmer like Shmuel. And I saw that the Bach asks a question. If the Gemara means to tell us that we should paskin like Shmuel, so all the Gemara should have just said was Hilchasa K'Shmuel. So he answers that what Amema is coming to teach us is not only in the cases that we had in our Gemara where Shmuel told us that we are machmer by suffix drusa, but rather he's coming to teach us a much broader din. He's coming to teach us that any situation of a suffix, the halacha is we follow the opinion of we are machmer by suffix drusa. Amalei Rav Ashi Lameima, hide the Rav Mai. What are you going to say with Rav's opinion? And the way I saw the Achronim explain the Gemara's question, that the halacha is like Rav in all questions of Issa v'Heter. So here too, we should have passed like Rav. Hi, the Rav Mai. Amalei lo shmile, kolem lo svirle. I don't agree with Rav's opinion. V'bay seima. Another why he was comfortable passing like Shmuel, because Hodebei Rav l'gab de Shmuel, Rav ultimately agreed with Shmuel's psak. Because says the Gemara, the who sharkafa, there was a bag full of birds, the suffix drusas, they were all suffix drusa, also l'kamei de Rav, and these birds were brought to Rav as a shayla, shadrin l'kamei de Shmuel, and he sent those birds to Shmuel, and Shmuel went chankinu v'shadrin ben adrenu. He choked them and threw them into the river. Says the Gemara, v'yisal k'datach, loy hadabei, if we're going to say the Rav did not retract on his psak, and Rav still holds that a suffix drusa is osur, so ask the Gemara, l'shrinu, he should say that they're mutter. Why did he take the position that, why was he so lenient? Answers the Gemara, alamai, so what are you going to say? Hadabei. If you're going to say the Rav was chayzer, l'shrinu, so he should say that it's osur. Says the Gemara, rather, the way to understand this entire discussion is not that Rav retracted on his position. Rav's opinion still is that a suffix drusa is osur. But the reason he took this approach was because this question took place in Asri the Shmuel, in the place where Shmuel was the Rav. And since Shmuel was the Rav, therefore Rav, out of respect, agreed to Shmuel. So Rashi makes a very interesting point. Rashi, in his first explanation of Gemara, that says that if Rav would really hold that they're mutter, even if Shmuel is saying that they're usher, Rav would not have let Shmuel take that, just agree to it. Because as much as a Rav has to show respect to the opinion of the Rav, of the local Rav, he only has to show that if he agrees with him. If he completely disagrees with him, and there's a question of throwing out good birds, then he should have never have agreed to it. Then Rashi says a different way, that under all circumstances you have to show respect to the Rav, and that's a fascinating halachic question. How far does the halacha require that we show respect to the Rav? Does it only require it in a case where I agree or don't know, or even where I disagree? If this is the Rav, the local Rav, we have to show him respect. But ask the Gemara, Shmuel, as we're learning, held that a Suffolk Jew is Asur. And that's why, of course, he said you may not eat it. But ask the Gemara, Lama Lamechikinu, why did he have to choke those birds? L'shtinu Hachi Benara, he should have just thrown them into the river. Answers the Gemara, Mefrachinu V'salkin, he was concerned that if they were just thrown into the river while they were alive, they would come out. And person would see this bird, not know it was a Suffolk Drusa, and may Chas V'Shalom come to eat it. Says the Gemara, another question. V'lishinu l'shnei masachaydush. Even Shmuel, says the Gemara, is agreeing that this is a situation of a Suffolk Drusa. Since it's a situation of a Suffolk Drusa, one of the ways to determine if it was or wasn't a Drusa is by waiting 12 months. So ask the Gemara, why don't you just wait 12 months and see? Answers the Gemara, since there were many birds in that bag, we needed to be concerned that there were many birds that won't be able to properly guard them, that they shouldn't, nobody should come to eat that. So from here, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerideya Simon Nun Zayin Sefeis, Im Rabim Heim Hanadroshim, if you have many birds that we have a question or a drusa, we can't hold on to them. We have to be concerned that Chas V'Shalom, somebody may come to eat it. The Rama, however, says, even if it's only one bird, we shouldn't hold on to it. And therefore, he says, that doesn't make a difference if it was many birds or not many birds, we always have to throw them away. Then ask the Gemara, why did Shmuel say choke him and throw him away? Why not Lisbon in the life of the Chavim? Why don't we just sell them to a Nachri? Answers the Gemara, because we need to be concerned. Also Lisbon in Yisrael, the Nachri may go sell these birds to a Jew. Ask the Gemara, Vilchinkinu Vilishdinu. So I understand now why he had to kill them. But why did he have to throw them to the river? He could have just thrown them La'ashba. He could have just thrown them into the garbage. Or I saw, the Rashba says, he could have killed them. And if he would have killed them, they would obviously be in the Vela. And then he could give it or sell it to a Nachri, because no Jew is going to buy a bird which is obviously a Nevela from a Nachri. V'lechen kinu v'lejdinu la'ashba. L'tanech, asked the Gemara, nejdinu l'klovim. He could have thrown it to the dogs. Why do you have to go through this entire procedure? Ella, the reason Shmuel went through this entire procedure is to teach us lefrisuma milsa di surah, to teach us that the halach is that a Suffolk drusa may not be eaten. Says the Gemara, Huba Avza Davabe Ravashi. There was a goose that was in the home of Ravashi, Olabe Kanya, it went between the sticks, Nafik, and then it walked out from that spot, Osakim Smasme Koy Dome. He came out with his neck bleeding. Am Ravashi, Loya Minan Suffolk Kalba. There's a question if it was attacked by a dog, Suffolk Shunra, as we said before, or was attacked by a cat. Ema Kalba, and we said before when we had that Suffolk, we assume it was a dog, and that's why we're lenient. Hachanami, Suffolk Kanya, when this animal walks out with this bloody neck, there's a question that it has a bloody neck because it was attacked. It fell amongst the sticks. A Suffolk, there's a question, it was attacked by a Shunra. Ema, we say Kanya, Machya, and we can be lenient. Amri Bei Rav Chiya, continues the Gemara, the Bnei Rav Chiya. Throughout Shas, Rashi teaches us that the names of the Bnei Rav Chiya were Yehuda and Vecheskia, and actually they were twins, but very interestingly, even though they were twins, they weren't born at the same time. There was a 3-month interval between when the older one was emerged from its mother and the next one. Drusa Shamru, so says the Gemara, with all the cases they said they were speaking about a Drusa, Tzricha Gedika B'negim Me'ayim. We have to check the entire body, the entire stomach area of the victim. That's the only place we have to check. Amar Rav Yosef, Had B'nei Rav Chiya, this halacha that we just learned from the B'nai Rav Chiya, Kfar Pirsh Shmuel, was already taught to us by Shmuel. Dam Shmuel Meshum Rav Chanina Ben Tigis, Drusa Shamra, when we speak about a Drusa, Tzricha B'dika K'negi B'nai Ma'ayim, the inspection has to be done in the B'nai Ma'ayim area. By Ilfa. So now Ilfa asked another question. Yesh Drusa L'Simonim, where the animal was attacked by the Simonim, by the Kanan Deveshit, or ain't Drusa simonim. It's not possible for the simonim to get affected by the drusa, because the simonim, we've learned before, are very hard. And since they're very hard, we need not be concerned that that's how the animal will become a drusa. Amar Rav Zeira, had by Ilfa. So he said, this question that Ilfa just posed, Kfar Pisha Rav Chanan bar Rava, Damar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amarav, Drusa Shemru, Tzricha B'dika Kenege Beis Chachal Kula. When we have a Drusa, we have to check the entire stomach area. I did see that Rashi points out that that includes the area of the lungs and the liver. They're also considered within the B'nai Ma'ayim. Drusa Shemru, Tzricha B'dika Kenege Beis Chachal Kula, Vafil B'simonim, even the area of the simonim, he says, requires simonim. It requires drusa, because if they're attacked there, it can become a drusa. By Ilfa, simonim shenadadlu, if the simonim were moved from where they're supposed to be in the body, bekama, how much do they have to be dislodged from the place that they are to be considered treif? Amrav Zera, Hadba Ilfa, Kfar Pirsha Rabba Babachana, Dar Rabba Babachana Mishmul, Simonim Shinadadl Barubam, if most of the places where the animal, where these Simonim are attached, they makes it a trefa. And as we learned earlier on Daf Mem Beis, that means if it was detached in a number of different places, it wasn't detached in one long row, but if it was detached in a number of places, we make that, and they, all those different spots combined to rive, the animal will be a drusa. By Rav Ami, hasmosamahu, that if an animal was attacked on its thigh, then after it was attacked on its thigh, we see that the meat in that area starts to rot. Is that animal going to be a trefa or not? On Rav Zera, had by Rav Ami, so he says this question that Rav Ami asked us, Kfar Pirsha Rav Yehuda, Damar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Drusa, when we speak about an animal that's a drusa that becomes treif because it's a drufa, Achi Yadim Bas Kenegben Ayim, if the meat by the stomach area gets red, Nesmasmes Abasar, if the meat that got attacked starts to rot, Roinus Akila Eina, it looks like it's missing. So if it's a spot in the animal where that missing meat would make the animal treif, that will make this animal into a treifa. Ask the Gemara exactly heichi davin the smasmes. What is the definition of the smasmes? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, kol sheroifa gardai, if there's a wound and the doctor has to scrape off the meat, and it has to be scraped away, that's a case of nismasmes. Arav Ashi Kavina Be Rav Kahana, when we're learning the Yeshiva Rav Kahana, Aisakamana Hireya, there was a lung that was brought to us, the Kavamasvile, that when we just put it down on the table, Yosva Shaper, it was fine. However, Kavamadullah, when we picked up that lung, we have it terfinale. What happened was that we had to make it a treif. But Rav Huda Bar Yeshua, because we saw that even though it looked like a whole lung, the bottom of the lung was completely scraped. And if the bottom lung was completely scraped, it's a proof that it's a treifa. Rav Nachman Amar says, Rav Nachman Koitz, if the animal has a hole, if a hole was made in the animal, the hole has to go, as we've learned many times, a hole to be considered a puncture that makes the animal trefa has to go through all the layers. But drusa, when we speak of drusa, mishyadim abosk negimneimayim, as we've been learning in our shir, that the stomach area gets red. Razvid mas nahaki, Razvid learned Rav Nachman's halacha this way. Bedrusa mishyadim abosk negimneimayim, by a drusa, when is an animal considered a drusa? When the area of the bnei mayim gets red. Besimonim, when we speak about the kanim veishid, achidimu asimonim atzmam. It's not that the meat, the area around the simonim, get red. They themselves have to get red. The actual kanim veishid, if the meat around the simonim get red, that will not make the animal into a trefah.